We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The Thursday edition is here, another weekend almost upon us. The NFL draft approaching quickly. And we're going to break it all down for you here on the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, amongst other topics. I am half of your crew, Jason Perrone. You can find me on X/Twitter at Jason Perrone. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, how's spring shaping up over there?
It's in good shape. Weather's been great. I know we don't talk weather anymore. But
are you getting close? Well, the big question is are you getting closer to hitting the beach every day?
Yes. Not every day, but it's funny as we speak, and I'm looking out the window. I'm looking out my window, and there are frolicking on the beach as we speak.
Nice, very good.
Yes, there are, and one of them just actually went into the ocean.
Oh, okay.
I'm not ready for that.
Polar bear plunge.
It's not that cold, but I'm guessing these young people that are on the beach today. I'm guessing they might be from Canada.
Well, I mean the water's cold, right?
Yeah. Well, not to them.
It hasn't warmed up yet. Yeah.
It's funny. Like, whenever you see people on the beach, and this is not a knock by any means. It's just a fact. Whenever I see people like on a day like today's not a great beach day. It's okay. Like, I'm not going to the beach today because I'm just not. But when I see people on the beach, they're undoubtedly from the great north.
Right.
And to them, it's, 65 is tropic.
Right.
Because they left 12 degrees or something. So yeah, they're happy. And the cold water, no, that's not cold. It feels good to them. So God bless.
No, and that's the other thing too that I see in Phoenix a lot is you can tell because I work in the hotel business, so whenever you're doing like a site tour or something like that and it's November or the winter time and you see that one or two people that are like out in at the pool taking in the sun, like they're probably from Minnesota, Canada, yep. Wisconsin. Yep. Somewhere in those colder destinations, but yeah, things are starting to, I mean, we've had weird weather here in the Phoenix area. I know we don't talk weather anymore, but it's been a minute. We've had weird weather here where like every day in the forecast, it's like sunny and mid 70s, which sounds great on paper. But then by the afternoon, for some reason, this like cloud system moves in and all of a sudden this storm comes out of nowhere.
Really?
I almost feel like we might have to throw it back. Now, I missed this episode a couple of years ago when you and I think it was you, me and, or actually no, it wasn't you. This was when you were on a different day. And I was with Paul and Matt Frelick, and we had Luke Stampy join us, the meteorologist from Northern Wisconsin. And I almost kind of want to bring him back on and just be like, you know, hey, I'm sure there's a good explanation for it. I mean, the models and all that stuff that meteorologists use to predict weather and things like that. But how does this weather like come out of nowhere? I mean, obviously it's Mother Nature. You can't, you know, it is.
Yeah, I always thought Arizona. I mean, storms in Arizona. That's I've been to Arizona a million times. I think I've told you that. You know, it's probably the place I used to go more than anywhere. Yeah, I mean, I rain was like what? It never rains. You know, it was a desert when I was there. So that's interesting.
No, we do. No, we definitely do. We get rain. I mean, we get rain. We get weather. We get, you know, all that other kind of stuff too. I mean, mostly in the winter months because it's you know, it's cooler and you have the mountains. So some parts of the valley tend to get hit harder than others. I mean, it does matter. That stuff does matter because it traps air and, you know, sometimes even too with the growing population, you know, we'll get some smog here. We're not LA, but you know, it does look a little hazy sometimes. So anyway, so. Here we are, Mark. We kind of, you know, the free agency period is definitely wound down, although the Packers did make a move. We can talk about our thoughts of it real quickly here. I know that the Wednesday show did a good job of covering all that stuff, too. And then there was also a little bit of news, if you want to call it news, where there's been some discussions between the city of Green Bay and the Packers about their lease and Lambeau Field. Spoiler alert, it's going to be fine. But we can talk about what came out there and there were some rule changes, so there's some stuff that we have to talk about. I guess I'll let you pick where do you think we should start? Where do you want to start?
Sorry, let's start with where the Packers are going to move when they leave Green Bay.
Yeah, right. I have no idea. Where's the next expansion city that the NFL has on the docket? And then that'll kind of tell you. I mean, do they move to Toronto?
I don't know.
Like the Bills were supposed to.
They don't leave the country. They don't leave the country. I don't think. I don't know. How about let's see? Where would the Packers move? Where would be a good place?
One of the Dakotas.
Oh God, no.
No, I joke. I mean, I don't know. That would make my friend Katie Sunderman really happy. She's a.
I think they would go to somewhere like let's see, what city needs a team that doesn't have one? Chicago,
Oklahoma City. Yeah, I that's beautiful. That was well done. We could honestly just sign off. We can just sign off right now and make this the best pack a day podcast in the history of the show. Right. No, that's fair. Well, to be fair, and I actually did get some insight from somebody who followed the sports scene.
The Packers aren't going anywhere.
Okay? No, they're not. No, but the Chicago thing, the Arlington Heights thing, I guess, is not done. All right. There's a lot of people that don't think it's actually going to happen. They actually think that the Bears will end up like renovating or redoing a stadium closer to where they're at right now. So
yeah, I would think so.
But whatever. Yeah, no, the Packers. So essentially, what happened was is the negotiations between the city of Green Bay and the team have ceased right now, which doesn't mean that it's dead or that there's any imminent, you know, this lease is in place for the next, what do we say, 18 years?
18 years, right? I think so.
Yeah, so we're not talking about any kind of imminent problem or danger here. I think they just like to be diligent and get things in place and make sure that they've got a structure and that there's an ongoing interest in the city keeping the team there, the team staying in Green Bay. Obviously, both sides want that to happen. Now, I'm trying to remember... who it was that I talked to that had some really good insight into, and they didn't say that the city of Green Bay does not support the Packers, but they did say that not everybody, or they said, I would be surprised how many aren't as big a fans of the NFL and the Packers as you think. Now, whether those are influential voters and you know, council members and those kind of, and government officials, I don't know, but it was interesting to hear.
That's amazing. You told me that it went before we started, you know, the show.
And yep.
Again, I'm an outsider when it comes to that. I mean, I've been to Green Bay, but I've never lived there. I've never lived even close to there. Yeah, I mean, my perspective, I thought, you know, I mean, let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Packers, I don't think I would have ever heard of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Would you? I mean. Did you live in Green Bay?
I know. I lived in the Milwaukee area. And so because I'm sure I would have heard of it, but it would also have been a city that's like, it's somewhere up north. I don't know where it's at.
It would have been no different than Appleton.
Right.
Right? We'd just put in another small city in Wisconsin.
How many players have said when they got drafted or their agent told them they were going to Green Bay, they had no idea where it was? Leroy Butler didn't know where Green Bay, Wisconsin was when he got drafted by Florida State. Like, yeah, they had no idea where, now they do, but no one has any idea. It's a unique anomaly market. And I will just tell you right now, the city basically, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not going to bore everybody with the quotes and all that stuff, but the city basically is saying the Packers have come to us with you know, a resolution or, you know, extension or whatever it is that doesn't take, isn't serious, basically. So the city said, listen, until you're coming back with something more tangible, we're, and of course you've got Mark Murphy coming out to saying that, you know, they're disappointed. The city comes out, they're disappointed. What a shock. Everyone's disappointed, probably because the money's not good.
Right.
For one side or both sides or the other. But, you know, we've got time to get this thing figured out. The Packers are not going to move. No, they're not going to Chicago or Arlington Heights or
Oklahoma
City or the Dakotas. So I'm sorry for anybody in those markets who really wanted to see the Packers go there. You know, it did make me wonder for a split second. I know we're not like going to have any tangible conversation about this here, but it did make me wonder, and maybe we talk about this in some other, like, you know, realm, is if the Packers were to move, would you stay a fan?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Not everybody feels that way.
Well, if you lived in Green Bay, you might not.
I don't even know about that. I think it might cause me to pause and say, like, well, where are they going?
I don't care. I wouldn't care. That's just me. Listen, I was a Packer fan growing up in New Jersey. It didn't matter to me if they were playing in Green Bay or Detroit or Minnesota.
They're your team.
That was a team I liked because my godfather was friends with Vince Lombardi.
They're your team. Well, but do you think...
If my godfather had been friends with Don Shula, I would have been a Dolphin fan.
True. No, that's true. But and I don't know the answer to this question, I'm legitimately asking, and I'm sure you don't know exactly either, just in your opinion, how many Oakland Raiders fans do you think just said screw it when they moved to Vegas?
The ones that live in Oakland. I think, because then that's breaking your heart. That's moving away. You know, like I remember, this is crazy. I start covering Eagles in 1980. My first full year on the beat was 1985, but I helped out at the end of 84. And because the guy that was covering them was leaving, so I was doing stuff. And that's when the Eagles almost moved to Phoenix. The deal was done. The Eagles were on their way to, that was before the Cardinals. The Cardinals were still in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy stories. I mean, the deal was done. It was Leonard Toews, the former owner of the Eagles, had lost a lot of money in gambling and stuff. And he had to sell the team. And he had a great offer from a guy, I forget the guy's name, Bob Hurt or something. But to move, you know, because Phoenix was getting a team one way or another. They were
getting
an NFL team, and it looked like it was going to be the Eagles. And then, so yeah, a lot of Philadelphia, you know how Philadelphia, they would have turned on the Eagles in a heartbeat. Well, the Cardinals, what would have happened if the Eagles would have moved to Phoenix? I think the St. Louis Cardinals would have moved to Philadelphia. So then the Cardinals would have been in Philly. And those Philly fans would have become Cardinal fans.
Well, they'd be miserable.
Well, it would have been all different. The whole world would be different, you know?
Well, the Bidwills were still coming, so it's still the Bidwills running the team.
Maybe. Yeah, probably, huh? Yeah, it would have been the man. You're right. I'm thinking a guy in Philly would have bought the Cardinals.
Just based on the fact, since the Cardinals were in Chicago, they're not letting go of that. Yeah, they would have stayed involved.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been. But anyway, my point is, yeah, I think if you're a local and that's why you like, if you like a team because that's where you live, like Baltimore, when the Colts left, I think a lot of Baltimore people hate, you know, they hate to this day, they hate the Indianapolis Colts, and then they got the Ravens, so now they're Ravens fans. But if you're a local person, yeah, you would not like that. You would turn on the team. But me being a Packer fan, you know, whatever you choose to call me. I mean, you know, I'm just not, you know, I don't live there. So doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like I'm a season ticket holder or I'm losing any, you know, I go to a game every once and again when I can. Well, if they played in Oklahoma, I'd fly to Oklahoma for a game every once and again.
Right.
So yeah, it wouldn't affect me at all. That's just me. That's how I feel. I know my dad growing up was a big New York Giants baseball fan. And then they moved to San Francisco, and he stayed. You know, he wasn't happy that they, you know, he couldn't go to as many games, but he did stay a Giants fan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of different. There's no wrong answer. I was just curious. Like what would it mean if somebody, because I think there's also people that don't live in Wisconsin who might feel differently if they move. It might depend on why too. Everybody always has different reasons for. You know, they might be like, oh, I'm mad at the team because they left the city or whatever. Like some people will take that kind of a stance too. It was just interesting. It was interesting for me to.
If they went with Myrtle Beach, I'd be a bigger fan.
I think so. I think you would have to try to buy your way up the list of season ticket holders there, right?
Yeah, I know. I'd find a way to get a job.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You could do some damage there for sure with all the experience that you have there. Well, anyway, the Packers are not leaving. They're not leaving Green Bay. They're definitely not anytime soon.
That was a fun little thing we just did. But
yeah, they won't.
They're not going.
No. I don't think so either. So, on from that, I know that the Wednesday team talked about the signing of Greg Joseph as the kicker here. Now, we talked pre-show, and I wondered if the contract means anything as far as the competition for in the kicking game. You still have Anders Carlson, who they drafted last year. Now, Greg Joseph, the veteran from the Vikings, formerly of the Vikings, comes in. He's got he kicked pretty well there. So they've got some competition. So I guess at least in our opinion here, Mark, this obviously they want some competition. Does it say anything else to you? Is there any other tea leaf there, as our former co-host Paul Bredel says?
I don't think so. I think this is, Goody said after the season that there will be competition everywhere. He wants competition everywhere, but especially, listen, and I'm a Carlson guy. I defended him more than most, but they basically handed him the job last year, and that's never a good thing. So yeah, I think it's going to be a open. Listen, Joseph had a good year last year. 2 years ago, he had a worse year than Carlson had last year.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is
Adam Vinatieri in his prime.
No, right. They didn't bring in the guy from Baltimore. They didn't bring in Tucker. They brought in the guy that's he had and there's a reason he was out there too. I mean, So, yeah, but it'll be fair. I think it'll be another good storyline during training camp and the three preseason games, because I hope it's a fair competition, and whoever kicks better wins the job.
Honestly, you only have one job to do when you're a kicker. Nice little transition here.
There's only two jobs.
There are actually two jobs. That is correct. So field goal kicking. So that is obviously more to be seen there. And we'll see the Packers bringing in a veteran. So it's not this unserious Giorgio Tavecchio free, training camp thing like we saw a couple of years ago with Mason Crosby. No, this is some legitimate competition, and may the best guy win, because the kickoff rules changed, and it's a lengthy rule change, but it means there's going to be more returns, and there's going to be more incentive for teams to return the ball. The Packers happen to have one of the best return guys in the NFL over the past couple of years. He's capable, at least he's capable of returning or taking one to the house every time, he being Keyshawn Nixon. So what was your initial, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the week, and then they voted yes on it. And so what is your initial take on it?
I'm amazed by it, to be honest. I mean, we were saying this. It's the most drastic rule change the NFL has done, the most visible drastic rule change I think the league has installed since they added the 2-point conversion back in whatever year that was, early 90s, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this really changes the game. It changes. I mean, let's just start at the beginning. So nobody can move on a kickoff now, right? Until the call.
That's the biggest thing for me is, so nobody moves either on the return or the kicking side until the ball is either caught or hits the ground.
Right. So that's big. That's a big change right there. And then you got all the little subplots to it. It used to be, if you had a great kicker, you just said, all right, kick it out of the end zone, give him the ball to 20. It used to be 20. Then they made it 25. Now it's 35. So you just can't say, Justin Tucker, kick it out of the end zone and give him the ball to 35. 35 is a pretty good starting position now, right? I mean, that's a whole first down that you just gave him.
Correct.
25, you gave him one first down.
Yep.
So I don't know if teams are going to want to do that now. Also, the ball has to get to the 20 or they get it at the 40. So you can't, there's no more, the squib kick is no longer.
Right.
The onside kick, now that's even crazier now too, in that you have to tell everybody, yeah, we're going to onside kick now. So forget the surprise onside kick that teams used to do. I covered the Eagles. I hate always bringing up the Eagles stuff, but I mean, I'm Andy Reid's early years. The Eagles started a couple games with onside kicks.
Well, and there were also a couple times that the Packers went surprise onside.
Yeah, under Holmgren.
And McCarthy, there were a couple too.
Okay. So yeah, so that's, throw that out. They're not happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, and again, it's all done because people want more points. They want more offense. And every rule changes that. What's the last rule change that helped the defense? I don't think there's been one.
It's been a long time. Well, honestly, what my take on that would be was the one year that they said you could challenge a defensive penalty to potentially like erase it.
Yeah.
But that's not right. What you're asking. I don't know. That's not what you're asking. Right. Yeah. Right.
What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of GameTime is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
No, I mean, everything's for points because, I'm old. I don't mind the 17-13 game. I really don't. If it's good defense, I like seeing good defense. But most people, and I think this is because of the way how fantasy football has kind of taken over football. Like, I know younger, especially with younger people. Like, I see some kids, like, when I'm out sometimes, and, like, they're wearing whatever jerseys, whatever. I'm like, oh, you're a Giants fan? I have Barkley on my fantasy team, so I bought his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, now you got to get rid of that jersey because he's on the Eagles, you know?
Yeah.
Kids don't even – younger people today, and I think it's in all most sports, they like players, not team. And I think it's because they play fantasy, and that's the guy that they drafted, and that's whatever. I'm old school, but I really think that's had an influence on the way people watch sports now.
Yeah. Oh, it's very much that. It's very much that. My own son does that.
He's young, right?
Yeah, he's 10. He's 10 years old, but it is, it's very much that. I mean, he went through a LeBron phase, big into LaMelo Ball. Like, it's just, it's very player centric. Yeah. He even has a Hornets hat too. I took him to the spring training game. It was Cubs Brewers this past weekend. And there he is with his like Hornets hat.
I couldn't tell what kind of hat that was. I know it wasn't a Cub or a Brewer hat.
Yeah, it was Hornets.
It was a Hornets hat.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah. Hornets. Cause he loves LaMelo Ball. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah. So in any event, it's, Listen, the NFL is going to try this out, and if it doesn't work well, then they'll either scrap it or they'll change it, or you know they're not.
It's a 1 year thing. Yeah, 1 year at a time.
I'm glad they're doing it for, and I also like the fact that if you're going to implement a rule change, make it for all games. Don't just make it a playoff thing. That Super Bowl rule change and the overtime and all that stuff was, it got really confusing. Yes. So I'm glad they're just doing it. Try it, see if it works, and you know I don't know. I'm still a little bit of, you know, I still get leery when teams return against the Packers because of 2 seasons ago when they were really bad. Like this last season, they weren't that great, but 2 years ago they were really bad, right? Like I felt like every game somebody would get a big return.
Every year ago.
So, yeah.
How about when the Patriots had a guard bring a kick back 60 yards?
Well, that was in a year that the team ended up winning the championship. Yeah. So yeah, nothing is safe. Nothing is safe. But no, I think I think let's wait and see. Let's see how it goes. But the fact that the Packers have a returner that may, you know, in theory benefit from this, even though the Packers voted no on this.
Yes, they did.
Packers are one of 3 teams that voted no on this whole thing. And they just gave Keyshawn Nixon a new deal. And I think largely to be the return guy, I don't think they're planning on maybe he'll play the nickel.
Oh, no.
But I think they're planning on upgrading at the nickel position,
oh,
right?
No,
so the majority. I guess the point I want to make is if they still see him as a primary returner and, you know, he's getting what he's getting, then why would you vote no on this?
Well, Murphy had a good answer for that. I really do. I mean, I was curious that too. I was thinking, are they that worried about their own coverage unit? That was my thought when the rule passed. And I see a lot of Packer fans online saying stuff. Oh, this is great! This is great! This is great! Cause we have the best returner in football. Two straight years all pro. Why not? Right? This is going to be great. But then I'm thinking, you know, the Packers kickoff coverage. I mean, last year was a little bit. They still give up some long returns and. You know, I'm going back to when, like you said, a couple of years ago, they were god-awful. I mean, through the years, they've been even their great team, their Super Bowl-winning team had a terrible kickoff coverage team. I mean, so that's what I was thinking. But no, but Murphy gave a good answer in that he said usually when we make a rule, like when we change a rule like this, we usually give it a trial period. We'll say, let's, you know, we'll do it for the 24 preseason and see how it looks. And then we'll vote if it looks good and we like it, then we'll vote it in for the 25 season. And this year they just said no, we're putting it right in. So I think that was his concern, was that they weren't giving it a look-see for.
Sure.
But getting back to Nixon, I'm glad you were. No, from what Ryan Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur both at the owners' meetings, apparently Halfley loves Nixon as a nickel. That he's watched tapes of him, and they love him. They think he fits exactly what they want in their nickel. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, this defense is going to look a lot different than what it looked like the last couple of years. Especially in the secondary,
yeah.
So Nixon's role is going to be he's going to be a key player on this defense. I think
he's got the ability to take the ball away. Like he has the intelligence to make some plays. But there were at least 2 or 3 last season where I felt like he either overthought it, could have been in position, wasn't aggressive enough, just didn't make the play. He had that nice pick against Mahomes.
Yes, he did
in the Kansas City game. But I want to see him, like, he's got that Russell Douglas mentality. I want to see him step in front of one and just take it and house it, for God's sake. Like, use that speed. Just pick it off and run and go. Like, you know, obviously it's a lot harder than that in the NFL. It doesn't always work that way. And again, the old adage, they're not receivers for a reason. They don't have the best hands on earth. But if he ends up being the nickel, because I do think that's a position the Packers are going to try to add at least somebody in this. And if it's a rookie, it's not like you can just throw a rookie corner out there and play them. You're going to play Keyshawn Nixon over a rookie. But I think the Packers are going to start adding bodies at corner because there's question marks surrounding Stokes. Jair's not under contract forever. And, you know, Keyshawn Nixon is he's okay, but I don't know that you want him as necessarily as your starting nickel. If, you know, he might be the best of the bunch, but, you know, let's make the bunch really good. So I think the Packers will start making some moves there while we're talking about the defense and the cornerback room.
I thought so until what I heard. See, I think what you're going to do, I think this defense is going to look, I think your nickel, and remember what Halfley said about his safety, that he want, and that's why McKinney is such a perfect addition to this team. He wants safeties that can play in the box, that can play deep, or that can play nickel. Mm-hmm. But slot, he didn't say nickel, he said slot corner, which is nickel. So I can see Keyshawn Nixon almost being a safety in that sense, and because I think he could do all three of those things. Because mm-hmm. he's a pretty good tackler. He's probably as good a tackler as they had in the secondary last year. So he can, you know, he's okay against the run. He can play deep, I think, and he can play to, you know, I'm really curious to see what they draft, because that's gonna, like we said last week when we were talking about certain guys, that we'll see how much they like them by what they do, you know, either in free agency or the draft. But yeah, I this secondary is going to be look a lot. The players may look the same, but it's going to look different, because they're going to be doing a lot of different things than they did under Joe Barry.
Used differently.
Yes. Used. I think you're going to see Alexander, you know, more times than not. Now, they did it sometimes under Barry because Alexander had to go ask him, but I think you'll see him matched up against, you know, AJ Brown for the Eagles, or Justin Jefferson when they play the Vikings, or DJ Moore when they play the Bears. But I think you'll see that he'll play press man against them, and then you might see everybody else in kind of his own.
Right. Yeah. Know? No, I.
It's going to be different.
To say that I have expectations of the defense for the Packers this season is an understatement. I mean, I expect to see very different things, much different approach, and not just, you know, a one size fits all. You know, I don't even know what else to say about the defense and the approach the last couple of years. I mean, say what you will. Yeah, they were a playoff team two of the 3 years, but probably, you know, they were close to making it all 3 years. Joe Barry was there, so it's not like they were so bad that they kept this team from achieving. Like, they did okay, but you got to do more with some of this talent that they have there. And then you got the draft coming up here as well. And I'm still convinced, as much as I know the Packers probably want to add some depth on the offensive line, yeah, I feel like the middle of the draft is typically where they find the majority of their guys. And I know you're not going to get a 10-year starter at tackle there. I understand that. I mean, if you do, you luck into it, like Bakhtiari.
They've done it more than once.
They have. And if there's a team that can do it again, it's the Packers. So absolutely go for that. So I won't be surprised, and I still think Gutekunst just cannot resist the temptation to take, and maybe it's just how his board always falls, like just a big defensive guy. Somebody who can play up front. Until I see it differently, and I know he's picked some corners too, but until I see it differently, I think that's probably the direction that they'll go. But we have a whole month before that goes through.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. Let me just back up a second. I don't know if this defense, I'm not going to go crazy and say under the new coordinator that they're going to be a top 10 or top 5 defense. I hope they are. But I know I'm personally going to like this defense, because this is the kind of defense I like. I like aggressive. I like blitzing. I like, you know, takeaway, get, you know, putting guys, being aggressive, making plays on defense. I think that's how you win. I hate it to sit back, bend but don't break. I just don't like that style. Now, I'm not saying that one works and one doesn't. And if you do blitz and you are aggressive, you could give up some plays too, which, you know, that's the downside of being, you can be over aggressive sometimes, but I don't care. I'd rather give up a big play because I was aggressive than sitting back and hoping the other team makes a mistake and you wind up giving up an 8-minute drive for a touchdown anyway. I mean, so I'm going to like this defense better. Whether it's successful or not, that's going to be up to Halfley and his coaches and obviously the players themselves. Yep. But I'm going to like watching it a lot more than I've liked watching what I watched the last couple of years.
Well, it has to be more exciting. It definitely it's by nature. You know, there's only one direction to go with this whole thing. And so I think they're going to add some talent too, but I think that they've made a clear decision here that we don't want to be like desolate on any one area of the defense. Like, they brought in one of the best safeties in the free agent class. They fortified the back end there, regardless of who they put next. I mean, they could re-sign Rudy Ford and put him next to McKinney, and then you've got like almost like a Charlie Pepper type that's playing next to your other like stud safety. And then you got the defensive coordinator that's going to be a big addition like that. It's going to be kind of the same conversation that we had last year, where one of the biggest additions that they were making was the second year of a lot of players and the experience that they were bringing, versus like signing a player was more of like the growth. And I think we were talking more about on offense. I think here on defense, like as the season goes along and these players get more comfortable with this defensive scheme, they'll be like, oh, wow, I can actually like roam and make plays. And I'm excited to watch Quay Walker I mean, I don't want to have too high of expectations or overshoot it there, but I think he's one of the players that's going to benefit most from what Halfley's doing, because I trust Halfley to come in and actually say, hey, we have a skill set here. What can we do with it? Instead of saying, here's my scheme. How can he execute it great?
Exactly. Exactly.
And all that other kind of stuff too. So I think that's going to be a really, really good addition to the defense. It's just the mentality. Might take some time, or who knows, maybe they'll come out of the gate hot as hell and ready to go. And they're like, no, we're on fire. Everybody's bought in and excited. And, you know, I mean, after watching them stay tuned in and dialed in and put together the run they did at the end of last season, put a lot of my doubts about Matt LaFleur to bed, because before the season started, LaFleur was one of my biggest concerns. We referred back to it several times on the show that you and I did, and we should probably, you know, we'll do something like that again before this next season starts. Is biggest area of you know, encouragement and concern. We'll do that at some point. So, yeah, I mean, but the, you know, to get back and kind of wrap up the kick return thing, it's another rule change, and I don't remember. I feel like the NFL went through a stretch or a period of time where there just weren't a lot of rule changes, or if they were, they were super minor. And the last couple of years, there have been some pretty noteworthy things that they've implemented.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is this one is the biggest.
Like you said,
it's changing the game a little bit. I mean, and they did do a couple other things. The drop hip tackle, which is kind of technical to most fans. I mean, players aren't happy about it. But again, every rule is geared toward offense. Now, another it's a minor rule change, but I think it's a very good one. Is if I challenge, if I throw my challenge flag, and I win, I get another challenge, which is only fair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it should always be that way. Don't you? I mean,
I don't ever like a technicality keeping the game from being managed managed appropriately.
I mean, if I challenge a play in the first quarter because it's obvious that my guy caught the ball and you said he dropped, or vice versa, the other team obviously dropped the ball. I saw it hit the ground and you called it a catch, and so I throw my red flag and you watch, oh, yeah, he did drop the ball. Well, no kidding. I saw that. So why do I not have a challenge left now? Or I'm only down to one now because you messed up.
Right.
So, no, I think I should get that back.
Yeah, I understand they don't want to stop the game 38 times. I understand that too. But if it's blatant and obvious and on a technicality you can't change it and you're just saying, oh, it's human error, there's a difference between human error and, like, blew it.
Exactly.
And there's a lot at stake here. I don't want to get all conspiracy theorist and start talking about, like, you know, gambling, betting lines and all that kind of stuff, but like players and jobs and coaches and stuff like that. Like there's, you know, all that stuff's on the line. So I just, if you know you made a mistake, fix it, find a way to fix it seamlessly so that teams, you can keep the game moving and teams aren't penalized because somebody, you know, was mentally napping for a second. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I anything that helps coaches grab more control or be able to advocate for their team in an appropriate way is great. So I like that. I like that rule change too. And again, we'll see on the kickoff. We'll see on the kickoff thing. So we did also find out, now we don't know if this is actually going to happen or not, Mark, but I know that you and I had some opinions on it too. So it sounds like the NFL is trying to determine whether the Philadelphia Eagles will face the Cleveland Browns or the Green Bay Packers to start the season in Brazil.
And this is strange. Like, I mean, there's been several, you know, international games over the years now. They've never like made it like a contest. They just came out and said, you know, a couple of years, like the Packers were playing the Giants in London, or the Jaguars were playing the Saints in London, or so the Chiefs were playing whoever they were in Germany. Like, what's this? Like, why are they making it into like a contest between the Browns and Packers to who gets to play the Eagles in Brazil? It's kind of, do you find that a little weird?
Yeah, but well, I find it weird in theory, but the NFL is proven that they love the weird and odd. So it's just that's how they've chosen to approach it. And I do think that they do push. I think they really want to push the Packers internationally because there's a draw. They have so many fans all over the world. I mean, the game that was in London was huge. That was hugely attended. There were a lot of people that I know that I'm friends with that went to that game because it's like, oh, this is unique. I'm sure some Packers fans would travel there because it's another country and it's an opportunity to see the team play in a really unique setting, unprecedented before and any of that other kind of.
Then just say the Packers are going. What's this?
It's the same reason as why they keep trying to manipulate the rules for Hard Knocks without saying like we want a team like the Packers to be eligible. So because didn't they also just say that the playoffs don't necessarily disqualify a team from being on Hard Knocks now?
Did that get voted through?
I don't know if it did, actually. I don't know if it did. I know they were considering it. And I think some of those things get thrown on there as like detractors where they're like, this will get shot down. But then because we're giving up this, we'll get this back. It's just like government. You know, it's like any like that kind of
stuff.
It's
negotiation. Yeah.
But if it's I don't like the international games from the travel aspect because it just messes with the body clock because football players are very regimented. But if you're talking about the first game of the season, that'd be the one game I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't like, and it wouldn't be a Packer home game, so that's good. They're not giving up a home game. And I guess you could look at it from the, if you want to be positive about it, if they do pick the Packers, how are they going to pick it? Are they going to have Kevin Stefanski and Matt LaFleur do like rock, paper, scissors?
Or something? So for a 40-yard dash.
That would be an interesting one. Yeah. Stefanski might be the better athlete. I'm not sure. But I mean, if they pick the Packers, because if they pick the Browns, we don't care. If they pick the Packers, my biggest positive out of that would be they're playing the Eagles on a neutral site, which would probably, from what I'm reading and gathering, there's a lot of Packer fans in Brazil, like that live there.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw that too.
I saw that, like what they say, like whatever percent of Brazil people are football fans, and then like half of their fans are Packer fans.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Maybe just green and gold. I don't know. But so I would think a Packer Eagle game in São Paulo would have more Packer fans. And now listen, I know the Eagles, those crazy suckers will travel all over the place. So they'll be Philadelphia people, you know, not paying their mortgage that month and buying a trip to, you know, buying tickets and playing, spending more money than they make in a month to go to that game because that's how they are. They're nuts. Johnny won't get a birthday present because daddy went to Brazil to watch the Eagles play.
Right.
So that'll happen. So there'll be Eagle fans there. Don't get me wrong, but I think there'll be a lot of Packer fans. So with that in mind, and then that saves the Packers a trip to Philly, which is more times than not a tougher road game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So, and the Packers have never benefited from that ninth home game yet because they had to play in London.
Right. So now they would.
Well, actually, am I misremembering?
What? No.
Because they were the home team.
Yeah, you guys, the Giants, they were home, yeah.
Yeah, they were the home team.
They got to give up a home game. So this, if they go to Brazil, their schedule this year would have 9 home games, only 7 road games, and 1 neutral site game.
Yeah.
I know Eagle fans were not happy. A lot of Eagle fans were not happy. Now, some were happy because they're going to go to Brazil. But a lot were unhappy that they're losing a home game.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're not, because not everybody, not, you know, I was joking a little bit about Eagle fans and not But they will travel. I know that. But not everybody. A lot of season ticket holders are like, hey, you know, especially if it is the Packers, because that's a popular team. I get Eagle fans are going. A lot of Eagle fans are going to be up in arms that I'm not going to get a chance to see the Packers come to Philly. I got it because they put it in Brazil. That's why I was surprised. I was very surprised. I thought for sure it would be, because they named the Eagles months ago that the Eagles were going to be the home team.
Right.
I thought for sure it would be an AFC team. I thought for sure it would be a non-conference. You know, not a. And Cleveland's a good. You know, they were a playoff team, so it would be a, you know, a good game.
Or maybe you do like Eagles Steelers Pennsylvania.
That was the other possibility. Cleveland Pittsburgh. That's your two road AFC games or two home AFC games. Yeah, I thought that.
Because I wasn't sure if Cleveland. Yeah, I didn't know if that was if they were facing the AFC North or if Cleveland was like their other AFC opponent. Okay.
No.
So that could have been a good one.
Yeah, but I mean, Cleveland was even better because again, they probably didn't want to put that would hurt. That would bother people too because a lot of Steelers fans would probably come to Philly for that game. But I never thought the Packers were even a possibility when it came out.
Yeah,
I thought for sure it would be, like I said, an AFC team or a. I don't want to say a lesser, but I don't know how the NFL thinks anymore. I don't know what they if they want the more attractive games internationally now or they don't. I don't know. It used to be they didn't put great games internationally. It was always when Jacksonville became like they just sent Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, and there was a time when Jacksonville automatically meant it was not a great game.
Right.
So I was
mildly surprised when word came out the other day that it was between. Matter of fact, I thought I read a couple of weeks ago that it was going to be Eagles Cleveland, and then I started hearing that people were saying, "I'm like, nah, they already said Cleveland."
Yeah.
And then I saw the exact. Well, Murphy came out and said it's either us or at Cleveland.
Yeah.
So again, if they play it, I guess we'll. You know, do you have Peacock?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. Because somebody asked me, one of our followers online asked me if the Packers play, would I subscribe to Peacock? And I said, I already do. So
yeah, well, you find a way, or you would for that game,
right? But I get it anyway. So
I had Prime. I mean, I had Prime more for the shipping benefits than the TV, but just happened to come along with it. And it's like, okay, I have the Prime already, so I definitely get the Thursday night football. Although the Thursday night games have been not, there's the Packers game that I'll watch, but outside of that, they've not been that great.
No, they have.
So. Just another thing that the NFL is doing to try to expand their fan base, get more eyes on the game, and tinker with the player schedule too.
I actually covered the first ever international game. It was Eagles and Browns. But it was preseason. The Eagles and Browns went to London for preseason.
Okay,
that was the first ever game played abroad, and it was wild. It was different. I mean, like they really didn't know. Like it was. I got some good stories out of it, but it was different. It was really different. Like the fans, they knew at that point they really the American football was really foreign to the English people.
Yeah,
they only knew a little. They knew I'll never forget they field goals were they loved because they're all soccer fans. So when they kicked the field goal, that got the biggest ovation of anything.
Yeah. Right, and then the touchdown was just anticlimactic. Like, oh,
kind of. Oh no! But then they kicked extra point. That was like the extra point got more cheers than the touchdown.
You know, Andrew Brandt has told that story several times too. You're not the only one that said that.
Yeah,
it's true. It's funny. It is. Well, I mean, expand the fan base, make more money. It's follow the money, all that kind of stuff too. So, but I do think it'll be fun to watch, and the fans will get fanatical about it, and the American fans will get to travel a little bit. So, I'll be
it's
surprised.
Not going away.
I'll be surprised if it's not the Packers, but because I feel like if it's not them, they're going to have to concede something. And so it's like either they go play in Brazil or they have to be the hard knock team like next year or some dumb thing like that, too. I have no idea. I'm just spitballing.
Well, the Packers don't get the – who gets the – is Roger picks it?
I don't know. Anything is possible at this point. Anything's in play. So whatever theory you have, it's all possible. It's all on the table at this point. I would just say it's all very possible. Absolutely.
It's just weird. It's just weird how they're doing it. They've never done it this way before. They've just come out with the schedule.
Right.
These teams are playing in London. These teams are playing on Christmas. These teams are playing on Thanksgiving. They never said the Lions are going to play either the Packers or the Vikings on Thanksgiving. No, they say the Lions are playing the Vikings on Thanksgiving. This is to me, I just find it I don't know. Now, did that leak? Did the NFL not want that out? And Murphy leaked it out, or I don't even know.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if it was Murphy. I mean, here he is doing interviews at high school basketball games at halftime and blabbing about, you know, this and that stuff. So anyway,
that's why I said that. Maybe Murphy wasn't supposed to say
anything. Just, you know, go to your local Green Bay college or high school basketball game. You'll get the scoop at some point. Hopefully Murphy's there. You know, make sure you're hanging out in the back hallways and you can grab him for a second. So, well, that's the news and nuggets and notes for the Packers this week. Is there anything else before we talk about what's up at Packer Report?
No, well, there's nothing up at Packer Report. My draft series starts next week.
Okay.
So I've been working on it. I mean, it's scheduled, but it'll start. There'll be 14 stories going like every day or Monday through Thursday starting next week. April 1st is coming up. So Monday, what's today? Yeah, no, starting Monday, I'll have my draft series will begin, and I talked to three different scouts, and I let them tell me who the best players at each position are, and then I add up. I had to do a little math, so check my math on it, but I had them pick their top five, and then I give them points and blah, blah, you know, whatever. So, yeah, but if you're into the draft, and there's some surprises. Some players that are being bandied about, you know, favorably in the media, these guys don't think highly of. And some guys that aren't being talked about, you know, a lot, they think more of. And remember, these are the guys that actually make picks.
As always, there's, surprises. And again, we fall into the mock draft lull or the trance of all these mock drafts. And like, oh, this is definitely how the top 15 picks are going to go. And there's always trade surprises, changes.
Yep.
Some team finds a gem and it's like they knew all along. So.
Well, I'm not the first person to say this. But when you hear, oh, this guy's rising up draft boards or this guy's falling. No, he's not. The media's just the coaches and scouts have had guys set for months. The quote unquote rising is that word just got out to Mel Kiper and them that he's better than they thought.
Yes.
Or a guy falls because word finally got out to whoever that, oh, this guy isn't as good as we thought. Teams don't move guys up and down that drastic. The only time a team will move a guy down is injury, or they find out he's going to jail for something, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which would be not a great investment at that point. So we got the draft series to look forward to over at Packer Report. That's going to be good. If there's any news or noteworthy stuff that comes up, there will be a quick slant. Otherwise that's on hiatus for a little bit longer until at least the draft comes along. So, well, good one. Thanks, everybody, for riding along with the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. We'll be back at it again next week. Keep an eye out for Mark's draft series, which is coming soon. And take care of yourself, everybody, wherever you're at. Hope the weather is turning well. And who knows? Maybe one of these upcoming shows will gather some weather from our old schoolers.
Yeah, I think we have.
And, you know, with the season change, and we'll throw some out there. So if you're listening and you used to send us weather on the regular, go ahead and send it over and we'll start collecting for next week. And we'll do at least one where we check in with everybody and see how everybody's doing. So hope everyone has a great end of their week and a great weekend upcoming. Take care of yourself as always, and go Pack go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.